Good morning, church family. It has been a great morning already. Thank you, Matt and Rachel, for your help in introducing today's program. And then, Sam, as always, the music has been spot on. And then, children, I trust you enjoyed our children's story today. Now it's time for us to get into the Word. It is Sunday morning. We have already been encouraged and stirred up. Thank you for joining us today. And so let's have our Bibles ready. And let's continue on with our message from last week as we introduce part one. And I spoke on surviving the weight through adversity. And last week we looked at three aspects of surviving that weight. That is the why we have to survive that way. What is God's intention? And we examined last week how that our character is developed during these times of waiting during adversity. Our compassion is deepened as we go through adversity, for it allows us to be able to see needs in other people's life. And then we looked at how that our choices are directed by the Lord as we wait through these times of adversity. As I continued my study on this subject this past week, I discovered this. The Bible is full of examples in Scripture about waiting on God. And so this morning, I'd like to continue on with last week's message, and that is that we're going to look at the how. How do I wait? And we're going to talk today, as time allows us, for four practical steps for how to wait on God. And so if you have your Bibles, let's go to Galatians chapter 6. Turn to Galatians chapter 6. You may be there in your living room, your kitchen table. Maybe take a couple of notes. I have four specific thoughts to write down. And then there will be some other thoughts along the way that maybe will be helpful to you. So let's open in a word of prayer. Ask God to bless our message today. Father in heaven, we know that the last week has been difficult for many in our church congregation and for many who are watching today from different parts of the world. But Lord, as we set aside all of those distractions for the next few minutes, may we be able to focus on your word. May we be able to examine your word. And Father, I pray that you'll bless this preaching time. May our hearts be open. May we be in tune and not distracted. And Father, I pray, even though it's a most unusual way to have a church service, that we might still be willing to listen. So bless this time together in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, thank you so much for being here. Now, as we jump right into the message, I want to give you four tools of how to survive the how to survive the wait as I'm going through a time of adversity. Tool number one, I never wait alone, I wait with others. You never wait alone, you wait with others. You are with your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And God has not designed us to live alone. God has designed us to live with other people. And God is in no way, when he created Adam and Eve, did he create them to live alone. That's where we pick up with our verse this morning, Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 2. Listen to what the word of God says. Bear ye one another's burdens. It's a command. It's not even a suggestion. Bear ye one another's burdens. And as we do this, we fulfill the law of Christ. That command is to love one another. It's to share each other's troubles. It's to share in other people's problems. We're not meant to go through life alone. God made you. God made me. And to live life with other people, to find support and to find encouragement from others. Over this past week, we have made a concerted effort to communicate with you, to find a way to encourage you. Some of you, your life's not been impacted at all. But for most, our life has been impacted. We're not working the same hours that we once were. We are stuck at home. Perhaps our jobs have been impacted through a furlough, layoff, or even jobs eliminated. Several have had their hours reduced. The fact of the matter is that for most of us, our lives have been impacted, and therefore, we as a brothers and sisters of Christ, we should come alongside and encourage each other. That's what we've tried to do this week, and we've used a number of different manners to do that. We have learned through living this Christian life that we're not to do it alone. And so tool number one is you never wait alone, you wait with others. That's why the Bible gives us a very clear verse in Hebrews 10 and verse 25, not forsaking yourselves together as the manner of some is, but here's why we're supposed to meet together. But we get together to exhort or encourage one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. We would all agree that we're living in troubled times. So when you're waiting, you often feel like hiding. And you feel like hiding because you don't want people to see the variety of emotions of what you're going through. This week, my phone has been used more than ever before. And I'm so thankful for this technology that allows me to be able to communicate with you. And I've had many varieties of conversation. In fact, virtually every night that I've gotten home, my wife looks at me and she'll say something along these lines. Are you finished yet? Can we talk now? Because I'm incessantly communicating with members of our church, including conversations that go something like this. I don't understand. I lost my job. What is God trying to do? I don't like being at home. I have these feelings of bitterness or anger, and I don't want to get angry at God. I know that's not right, but I have these emotions. And sometimes we feel like hiding because we don't want to bother other people with what we're going through. And for whatever reason, there are people who tend to withdraw rather than connect with other people. But when you're waiting, you need other people more than ever. When you are going through a period of adversity, you need people more than ever to help you make it through. We've been told to separate. Other states have been told to stay at home. There's different requirements throughout the country. And, groups of 50 or less, which has pretty much been set aside, and it's groups of 10 or less. And it's impacted so many different areas of our own. Forget about the rest of the country, but of our own Tucson, where we look around and everything appears to be normal. But we've been told to separate, don't congregate. Or if you do go, this past week I went into Fry's to pick up something for one of our church members. And again, we have volunteered to help you however needed. And so I went over to Fry's to pick up something for one of our church members. And they even have signs there, stay 6 feet apart. And the lines were out into the aisle, not because of so many people, but everyone was 6 to 8 feet apart. And it's very strange looking. We've been told, separate, don't be together. But here's what we've discovered over these past couple of weeks. It's a lonely way to live. Why is that? Because this is not the way God intended. We should thank the Lord for the technology that allows us to interconnect in this most unusual way this morning. And I'm thankful whether you've tuned in on Facebook or our website or YouTube channel. Praise the Lord for technology. But it's not the same as if we were in the same room together where we can see, touch, feel, and use all of those five senses of being together. So we are separated. So how do you and I help others through a time of waiting? I think by now we all know of someone who is struggling. You know of someone who needs help. How do you help them? What can I do for them to help them make it through this adversity? It's amazing how a practical act of kindness can make a difference in a person's life while they're in a state of adversity. Just a small thing, meeting just a small need in their life. We had several people making phone calls. We've written over 400 notes to church families, birthday notes. I mean, it's been a busy week of communication. But we've received feedback from that, including one of our older ladies who lives at home alone. And she called to share just how much a note meant to her, and it met a need in her life. simple acts of kindness, we can get involved in other people's lives and it makes a difference. Maybe there's something that they can't do for themselves right now. One of our pastors went and picked up a prescription for one of our older church members because they were unable to go out and get that prescription. So we were able to step up. We were able to meet that need in that dear lady's life. And here's what it says. It says, I care and I understand and I'm committed to you during this time. You can't wait until the tough times hit to build support from others in your life. I'm so thankful that for many years our church has been here. And we've been building these bridges and building these relationships. So now these relationships are very real. Sadly, though, there's some that come only Sunday morning. They make no attempt to build relationships, and now they don't have the support structure that they desperately need. If you wait until the tough times hit, then you're too busy, you're too tired, you're too discouraged to build the support that you need in your life. So I say that we should always be working to build it. Do it right now. And some of you have heard this for years. Maybe some of our younger church members, maybe some of those who are newer in the faith, they're hearing this for the first time. I encourage you to do a couple things, and you can do this. Yes, even as we have this order to separate, be in crowds 10 or smaller. But one is to join a church family. Some of you have been on the fringe. You've been waiting for some time. Now's the time to join and become part of the church family. We welcome you to become part of our church family. A church family is there to help you make it through those inevitable difficulties of life, the inevitable waiting of life, to realize that you do not have to go through this alone. And I'd encourage you, secondly, join a growth group. Our growth groups are very connected here. What is a growth group? It's a group of men and women who are in a same life stage, age-wise, and they're divided up, and our growth group teachers are staying connected with their growth groups. The growth groups are staying connected. Some of them are having video calls, and some of them are having conference calls. A growth group is a place where you meet and you get the practical help that you need during difficult times or times of adversity. And some of you may be telling yourself, you know, I'm going to join a growth group someday. And pretty soon summer's over, and then September gets here and it's time to start school, and then it's October and you haven't got to it yet. Well, but I don't want to do it right now. It's Thanksgiving time, and Thanksgiving leads right into Christmas. And so literally it'll be 9-10 months before you really think about joining a growth group. I encourage you, don't wait till next year. This happens to be March. Join a growth group. If you're not a member of the church, join the church. And this should be our attitude. I'm going to do that now because I know I need that decision in my life to help me make it through. But even more than that, the gifts that I have can help somebody else to make it through. And I believe I can encourage somebody else during a difficult time. How do you use those skills and talents that you have? Join the church and join a growth group and jump in and get involved. You need other people to help you make it through times of adversity. Tool number two this morning, tool number two. You never wait in denial, you wait honestly. I never wait in denial, I wait honestly. Again, how do I make it through a period of adversity? I never wait in denial, I wait honestly. We have this ability to live in denial when it comes to the pain of waiting, and it's absolutely incredible. Some of us think that faith is acting as if we don't hurt. Faith is much more real than that. Genuine faith is. It takes the real you to the real God. And the more the real you that talks with the real God, the more real faith is experienced. And that's the way it works. In order to have real faith, you have to be honest. Let's be honest what we go through when we go through periods of adversity. We go through feelings of fighting and then hurting and then knowing or finding out, changing and trusting. And there's this plethora of emotions, gamut of emotions that we go through when we go through times of adversity and times when things are outside of our control. first comes the fighting. So when I say to you that you never wait in denial, that you wait honestly, but oftentimes first comes this emotion of fighting. As I said, I talked with one of our ladies in our church this week who was going through some very real emotions of bitterness and anger about being let go from her job and just, what do I do? But oftentimes is you fight it. You don't like it. You don't want it. So you fight it with everything that's in you when there's a period of adversity. You pretend that it's not real. And then you begin to fight with God and say, why am I going through this? And then inevitably you start to fight with everybody that's around you. And you get a little grumpy in those times of waiting. We get grumpy in a 2.5 minute red light. And we get grumpy during times of adversity. And we struggle during those time periods of waiting. And often we begin to take it out on the people that we love the most. And we begin to fight with each other. Oh, listen to me. Now's not the time to fight in your family. You're spending more time than ever together. Don't fight. Enjoy each other during this time period of waiting and going through this adversity. We as brothers and sisters in Christ should be a model example to our neighbors of what it looks like to live in harmony and peace and to enjoy spending time together. Well, oftentimes the first thing that happens is fighting. And then the second thing that happens is the period of hurting. You're fighting, you get to the point of being honest about the fact that this adversity hurts. It's no fun. You don't want to go through it. I'd like to encourage you to do something this week. Be honest with God. I'm serious. Be honest with God. You're not going to hurt God's feelings by telling Him how you feel. He's heard it all before. He already knows what's going on the inside of you. He just wants you to hear you express it. I want to challenge you this week, be honest with God. If you're going through this period of adversity, things you don't understand, get alone with God. Turn off the television, the radio. Turn off the news. Go to a quiet place in your house and talk to God. Psalm 139, verse 1 says this, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. The Lord absolutely knows everything there is to know about you. He knows it all. You just need to share with Him what you're going through. And as you share with Him your hurts, it's an awesome thing. Someone said this, as I began to share the hurts, something began to happen to feel closer to God than I ever had before. There's something about being transparent and talking to God and sharing. Oh, oftentimes when there's adversity, there's fighting those feelings. It goes over to hurting, and we don't want to express ourselves to anyone. Then what happens is that comes the knowing part. I began to know Him in a way I've never known before. And I began to feel a deeper relationship with God than I've ever experienced in my life. And it's this time period of waiting and hurting and being honest that I began to really know God. You really won't know God until you express to Him your hurts and your feelings and your frustrations, and you're able to have an honest conversation with God. And then as you know Him, you know what's amazing? Then comes the changing part. Changing my heart and my mind, my perspective, as we talked about last week. There's something that happens is that the more I get to know God, I realize it's not about me, and I begin to change. And then what happens is that I begin to change. The fifth thing that happens is that I begin trusting. I think a lot of times our trust factor is very weak whenever, boom, there's a problem, there's an adversity. And we've been hit hard over these last 2+ weeks. And so a lot of people's faith has been challenged. The unsaved world is scrambling to find truth. Their portfolio of finances has crashed and they are lost and they're frustrated. But as a Christian, I go through those frustrations. I'm fighting my feelings. I express my hurt. And what happens is I get to know my God. He begins to change me, and then suddenly I begin to trust Him. In the real world, you realize that you don't move through these steps, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. happened perfectly. You take a couple steps forward, maybe a step back. You have a pause here and there. That's the way it works. There's an ebb and flow. Many of you have been waiting for just one thing. It's this one thing. If this one thing would happen, then I would trust and I would know God. Something you can't get by your wits or get by with your charm or by your endurance or your money. Only God can grant this, and you haven't given it to Him. For some reason, God's chosen right now not to grant this to you. So you're waiting, you're praying, you're listening. You read books, you try to manipulate God, and nothing seems to be working. You're saying something like this: if only I could get married, then. If only my spouse would come to the Lord, then. If only that job would turn around, or if only that job would come through, then. If only my children would turn around, then. We put conditions rather than just trust God. It's seemingly a little thing for you. It's the one thing, and everything in life seems to be waiting on that one thing. May I just say, be honest with God. Have you told Him how you feel? Have you had an honest conversation with God? May I say, that's where it starts. Have you told Him what you're struggling with? Have you told Him the struggle that you're going through and the hurt that you have? Jesus even spoke about this. In Matthew chapter 6, He said this: but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut the door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Honesty is one of the keys to making it through a time of waiting. Psalm 17 verse 1 says this: O Lord, attend unto my cry. Give ear unto my prayer that goeth not out of feigned lips. God loves honest prayers. Well, we've looked at two tools so far this morning. Here's the third tool. The third tool: you never wait passively, you wait actively. I never wait passively, I wait actively. So I'm going through this period of adversity. We've already learned tool number one, tool number two. Tool number three says this, is that I'm going through this period of adversity. I'm not going to sit back and wait passively. I'm going to actively engage. Does waiting for God mean I just sit back in my easy chair, get a big old bag of Doritos and munch them and say, okay, God, hit me whenever you're ready. Hit me. I'm ready to go. No way. I always find in God's word that He uses busy people to do more. In fact, there's no examples in Scripture where somebody was just waiting around, doing nothing, lazy, and God used them. God uses busy people. He uses active people. When we hear that word wait, we often think, oh, that means stop. That's what it means, and it's often what it means in the English language. But the word wait in the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, does not mean stop at all. It means trust. It means that carries this idea of hope. It's something you do actively. It's not stopping. So how do I wait on God actively when I'm going through a period of adversity that seems like it's a tidal wave about to crush me? Well, I wait actively by seeking God's help. I actively seek God's help. Listen to Psalm 40, verse 1 and 2. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined me, and He heard my cry, and He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and He set my feet upon a rock, and He established my goings. You actively trust that God can lift me up out of the difficulties of life. G. Campbell Morgan has written a lot of commentaries, and I've enjoyed reading him through the years. I found this. Listen to what he said about waiting. Waiting for God is not laziness. Waiting for God is not going to sleep. Waiting for God is not the abandonment of effort. Waiting for God means, first, actively under His command. You do what God says. Second, readiness for any new commands that may come. And third, the ability to do nothing until that command is given. What a great insight by G. Campbell Morgan. So for some of you, actively waiting means you need to stop dragging your feet and do the one thing you know that God is telling you to do, the one thing that you haven't done yet. But for others, Waiting means you need to stop spinning your wheels and you need to wait to hear the one thing that God's telling you to do. I don't know where it is for you, but that is actively trusting in God during a time of adversity. That's how He lifts you up. That's how He encourages you. That's how He sets your feet back on solid ground. What does it mean to actively wait? It means you're actively drawing on God's strength. I'm relying on Him and not me. I love Isaiah 40 and verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. They shall mount up. That means they shall soar on wings like eagles. Have you ever seen an eagle soar? It doesn't look like they're doing very much. They've got their wings out and just little tiny flaps every once in a while. They're soaring to amazing great heights. Have you ever seen a hummingbird? That poor little hummingbird, it's fanning its wings so fast it looks like it's killing itself. And by the way, a hummingbird simply doesn't live as long as an eagle does because God designed them differently. God designed the eagle to catch the updraft and to soar. God has designed you so that you can catch the updraft of His love. You can catch the updraft of His strength, and you can soar to great heights. What do you need to do? You got to spread your wings. You can't catch the updraft of His love, of His mercy, of His will, of what He wants you to do until you spread your wings. You say, God, I give up what I've been doing, and I trust instead. I trust in You instead of what I want to do. I'm going to trust You and what You want me to do. You catch the updraft of His strength and His love and His power and His will in your life. That's how He's made you. Actively waiting means you draw on that strength every day. Actively waiting means you're actively depending on God to do a work in your life. Isaiah 64, verse 4. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen. O God, beside thee, what He hath prepared for him that waiteth for Him. While you're waiting, God is working. In fact, when there's nothing more that you can do, sometimes God's greatest and deepest work has already begun in your life. And for those of you with this take charge tendency, which is a lot of us who are watching this morning, myself included, our most difficult time in this period of waiting is sorting out the responsibilities from my responsibilities to God's responsibilities. What am I supposed to do? What is God supposed to do? Someone last night was telling me about the opening of a rose. Have you ever tried to open a rose yourself? You can't make it look good by peeling the petals back. It's unnatural. No, but if you wait for God to do what only He can do, look at that beauty as it unfolds in time. How do you know it's not my responsibility but God's? Here's the answer. When you're messing things up, you learn by experience. You make your waiting less goal-oriented and more God-oriented. Instead of thinking all the time, how can I get what I want? You begin to think, how can I understand what God wants? And you make your waiting a time of active trust instead of just activity. That's what it means to actively wait during a period of adversity or struggle. Well, my time's going by quickly. Let me give you the fourth tool this morning. Here's the fourth tool of how do I wait through adversity. I never wait with fear. I wait with hope. You never wait with fear. You wait with hope. You need hope to make it through. And God is the one who, as we spread our wings and we catch the updraft of His love, that we experience hope. He tells us of one of the sources of that hope in Romans 15 and verse number 4 when he says this, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. The scriptures give us patience and encouragement so that we can have hope as we've spread our wings and we catch the updraft of his love and his strength. The book is filled with encouragement to help you make it through, but if you're not in the book, you're not going to experience that hope. And the book is filled with stories of people who've had to wait and yet saw God come through and give them hope. In the Old Testament, in Samuel, 1 Samuel chapters 1, 2, and 3, there's a story of a woman that every one of you have heard of before. Her name was Hannah, and she could not bear children. And she had to wait and wait and wait. In her case, her husband had married two wives. Now, they weren't supposed to do that, but they did these things that they weren't supposed to because they were trying to figure out their own lives, and they didn't let God take care of the details. The other wife was Peninnah, who was having children, and Hannah wasn't. The Bible tells us that Peninnah constantly went after Hannah and made her feel devalued and made her feel terrible, and they became bitter rivals. Hannah was probably in some type of spirit of depression, that she just waited. She was discouraged. And she prayed an honest prayer, as we've already told you to do. She prayed an honest prayer to God. She shared those emotions. She shared those hurts. And one day, God granted her prayer and gave her a son. And we don't know the names of any of Peninnah's children, but we do know that Hannah's son was named Samuel. And Samuel has two books of the Old Testament that are named after him. Take that, Peninnah. Samuel became the government and the spiritual leader of the people of Israel. Why did God make Hannah wait? Because while she was waiting, God was developing her. He was developing a patience in her and a character in her like no one else of her day. An understanding of who God was like no one else in her day. And don't you think Hannah passed along some of those lessons to her young son, Samuel? Of course. In order to develop Samuel, God had to first develop Hannah. And that may be, by the way, why some of you are going through a time of waiting. It's not just for you, but you're going through a time of waiting because of the gifts that you're going to be able to and the wisdom you're going to be able to pass on to somebody else in your life. Our Bible is filled with these stories. In fact, every person of faith in this book had to wait. Every one of them. A guy named Joseph, he had to wait 13 years before he became the leader in Egypt as he had been promised. And a lot of those years were in prison. A guy named Noah waited 100 years before God sent that flood that he told Noah that he was going to send. The people of Israel waited 400 years before he set them free from captivity. Oh, our time doesn't permit. I could go on and on and on about people in the Bible who had to wait through a period of adversity. What I'm talking about this morning has happened countless times in the Word of God. Why do we get angry and frustrated over it? If every person of faith has had to wait, guess what? You and I are going to have to wait too. That's one of the definitions of life in this world, waiting for what God's going to do in eternity. And while we wait, we need to wait with hope. We need to wait with hope because not only people in this book, but people sitting all around us, they're going to look at us and how we handle the difficult times. And we're going to be an example of the hope that God gives. I know some of you look at yourselves right now and think, I don't know if I can make it through this time. Maybe you've waited before and you've made it through, but there's something about this particular time that we're waiting right now, and this one's just got to you. Maybe you're worn out for what's happened in this ongoing day-by-day trial. Or maybe it's just the particular circumstance you find yourself in, but you wonder, am I going to make it this time? Is our marriage going to make it through this time? Am I going to keep loving my kids? Am I going to survive this? Am I going to make it? I'm here to tell you this morning, yes, you can make it. Not based on your strength, not based on your ability. There's things all of us face when we think that we're going to go, going to make it through, but based on the promise of God's strength. Listen to Colossians 1, verse 12. Strengthen with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. Let me personalize it. God, will you strengthen me with your great power, so that I will not give up when troubles come, but I'll be patient. I implore you, call on God's strength. He wants to give it to you. Call on it now, today, this Sunday morning, so that you can make it through. Some of you are thinking, too late for me. I should have already waited. If I'd have waited, I'd have made it through and things would have been better, but I messed it up now and I couldn't wait and I rushed ahead and now my life is a total mess. There's no hope for me. Oh, listen, if you think that, somehow you've already run ahead of God. And now you think he has no heart for you. He's ignoring you. And somehow you've left God in the rubble of your life. And there's one thing you don't understand. You don't understand how much God loves you. Can we go back and look at that picture of Isaiah 30 verse 18 where God gives us God's heart toward you? He says, blessed are all they that wait for him. There's again another scripture reference about waiting. He's waiting for you right now. You may have run from him for years. You may have thought that you were long forgotten in the heart of God. And I submit to you this morning that that's not true. And every moment of your life, he's waiting for you to come to him so that he can show you his love. And that's how deep his love is for you. God's patience is one of the most incredible qualities, I think. He watches us make the same mistakes again and again, but patiently, he's waiting for us to come to him. He watches us run from him time and time again. Maybe for years we've run away, but he patiently waits for us to return. That's the love of God. You'll never find another love like the love of God. So I would say this morning to you, run to him. He's waiting. Run. Don't walk. Run to his love. Find in his love the strength that you need to make it through, the hope that you need to make it in this world. My friend, the hope of this world is not Washington, D.C. It is not the state capital in Arizona. The hope of the world is not in your bank account. There's only one hope, and his name is Jesus Christ. So start by trusting and giving your life to him. If you've never done that, or you can't remember that you've ever done that, may I just say, how can you trust someone that you haven't believed in? You don't trust him at all, not just even a little part, the good or the bad. And may I just implore you this morning, say, God, I've done a lot of rotten things, but I can't make myself good yet. You're willing to forgive me. By the way, that's why Jesus died on the cross. That's what this whole relationship with Christ is all about. And you say this, you love me enough to send your son to die on a cross and say, I'm willing to forgive you and to give you grace. And then you come to God and you say this, I want to give you the future too, God, not just the past. I want you to lead and to guide my life. I don't know a lot about it, but I'm willing to learn. So as best as I know how, God, this morning, I give my life to you. If you haven't done that, would you do it now? Run to him. Don't wait a moment longer. For all of us, there's just one thing. You've been thinking about it during this entire message, and I don't know what it is, but you do. It's been the one thing on your mind this entire time, the one thing that you're not willing to give to God. I say, trust him with that one thing. And you've trusted him with your life, then trust him with your circumstance. Circumstance by circumstance, problem by problem, joy by joy. Give him every aspect of your life, no matter what the adversity may be. Come to him and just say, God, I need to trust you with the circumstances. I'm waiting in this period of adversity right now. I'm going to give it to you. And guess what? He's going to let you spread your wings. And you're going to experience his strength and hope. It's possible. I'm not discouraged today. Oh, are there moments where, humanly speaking, yes. But when I see the bigger picture, I have to trust God. And there's hope in that trust. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. I've challenged you to spend some time with God. Tell him about you. Your problems, your emotions, your anger, your upset. He already knows. He just wants you to have a conversation with him. Have that conversation today. Ask God for relief. Ask God to help you understand. Ask God to teach you what you want Him to teach you. Ask, be willing to learn the lessons that God has for you. And if you'll do that, I promise you, you'll have hope. Father, thank you this morning for all those who have joined us. I ask that you will help all of us, wherever we may be, right now, to talk to you. Take these four tools, apply them, and may we come together and be stronger than ever before. Help us to trust you. Heavenly Father, we love you. Give us that hope and strength that we need to make it through periods of adversity. In Jesus' name.